Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. For more on the unfolding impeachment inquiry, we're joined on the line from Washington by Massachusetts Congressman Stephen Lynch. Congressman Lynch, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Good to be with you, Tiziana.
All right, let's jump right in here. The White House released a readout, a summary, if you will, of the president's call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky today. What's your immediate reaction to it? Did you have a chance to read it?
I did have a chance to read. Again, it was a memorandum that wasn't the actual transcript, as you pointed out. However, it did note that on at least six occasions, the president of the United States emphasized to the president of Ukraine that it was very important that the Ukraine government and the Ukraine prosecutor investigate Joe Biden or his son, certainly the Biden family. And that's very, very serious, at least facially, a violation of law.
So the president had said ahead of time that he thought this call summary would show that he did nothing wrong. It sounds like you don't agree that that's what this summary demonstrated.
Right. So the president has said that he did nothing wrong because there was no quid pro quo. In other words, he didn't say, if you do this, I'll give you, you know, defense funding. That's the president has sort of framed it that way. But the law doesn't require a quid pro quo. The law just says if you go to, you know, foreign nationals or foreign governments and ask for support in your election, a federal election, then you violate the law. That's plain and simple. So in this case, according to the elements of the law, what the president has said he did actually violates the law, his own statement.
Congressman.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, some Republicans are responding today that, in fact, the summary doesn't demonstrate a straight up quid pro quo. And as a result, I don't know if exonerated is the word, but certainly doesn't deliver to Democrats the evidence or the ammunition they might have wanted. What do you say to that?
There's nothing in the maybe I'm misspeaking, but I just said it doesn't require a quid pro quo.
So it doesn't. You're saying it doesn't matter if it's there or not. That's not the point.
No. That's a canard. That's a red herring. The violation of the law is when you look, if someone just gratuitously from a foreign country gave me $1 million for no reason at all to launch a federal election, I would be in violation of the law, whether or not I did something for them or not. It's the contribution, the participation. And you know, in this case, at least six separate times, the president emphasized forcefully to the president of Ukraine that he wanted his help to go after the Biden. So it was, you know, and this was in the midst of a presidential campaign. So there's no question, at least in the text of what was disclosed today, that the president did that.
Congressman, we've been hearing this afternoon that, in fact, I don't know if it will be the entire whistleblower complaint or a redacted version, but that at least some version of the whistleblower complaint will go to Congress yet today. What do you expect to learn from that?
Well, look, the whistleblower who was privileged to a lot more information than we're getting from this one conversation, actually put elements of what he thought was a violation of law or evidence of corruption in the complaint. He or she would have to state the necessary elements that he thought were either corrupt or abuse of law. So all of that information in there, whatever he observed or she observed, would be presented to Congress. Now, under the statute, it says we're supposed to get the complaint. It doesn't say that the head of DNI gets to redact it or that the U.S. Attorney General gets to redact it. That's not in the statute. So we're not satisfied with a redacted version.
You expect to see the full version.
Right. We expect to see the full version. There may be. Now, the statute does say that to all extent possible, the identity of the whistleblower shall be preserved. So if the redactions are meant to secure the identity of the whistleblower that is certainly consistent with the statute, but not to change the facts, the allegations, or the elements that have been laid out in that complaint. Not the factual assertions made within the complaint. Changing those or redacting those is not acceptable.
Congressman, you held out on calling for an impeachment inquiry for a long time. What changed your mind, and why now?
Well, number one, this is a clear attack on our Democratic election that's ongoing right now. So in previously, we've been reviewing what the president did previously. Did he obstruct justice in a certain instance? This, however, is an active and ongoing effort to interfere in the democratic process of electing our next president. That's what he's doing here. This is an attack on the Constitution, actively by the president. This is an attempt to interfere with our election using a foreign power to do that, and this is a clear violation of the rule of law.
So, do you feel you would need to know anything else to make a final decision on an impeachment vote, or do you feel at this point you would have enough to make that vote now?
Well, I want all the facts, right? I'm not going to make a decision before I get all the facts. But I think this is a fairly straightforward case. This is not complicated. The other thing is this authorization for a formal impeachment inquiry also gives us power, and I'm on two different committees that are investigating the president. One is Financial Services regarding the Mazars company, which is an accounting firm that has a trove of information that we would like to get our hands on. And then we also have the Deutsche Bank case down in the Southern District of New York as well. So
And the Deutsche Bank case has to do with President Trump's business dealings, correct?
That's correct, yeah. When Deutsche Bank lent him, billions when no one else would touch him. And so we're a little bit curious as to how that came about, whether there was false information presented by the president or others within his organization. So this resolution for a formal impeachment inquiry gives us greater power in those cases. We've already won in each case at the district court level, both in the Southern District of New York and in Washington. So now that those cases have been appealed by the Trump administration, This, by cloaking us with the authority of a formal impeachment inquiry, it gives us, number one, greater power to demand information. Number two, and greater subpoena power. Number two, it also requires an expedited process, which makes this all go faster. So we can emphasize to the courts in those cases that this has to happen now.
So the president... the president has said on a number of occasions, Congressman, that essentially impeachment would work for him, that it would be a positive for him. Are you worried that this push, especially if it dies in the Senate, if it goes from the House to the Senate, could be damaging to Democrats politically?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that. That was the whole scenario I was trying to avoid. The president has said impeachment in the House is a positive for him. Impeachment and removal, losing an impeachment trial in the Senate, however, for the president is a disaster. He gets removed from office. What I think is clear here is the facts are fairly understandable by the American people and by the U.S. Senate, even the Republican members of the U.S. Senate. And so we saw last night when the Speaker told Mitch McConnell that we were going to pass a resolution of disapproval in order to get the complaint, the whistleblower complaint, McConnell, to try to preempt that or steal the thunder somewhat, put his own resolution on the floor to get that complaint. last night, and it passed unanimously. Every single Republican senator voted for that because I think they feel that to do otherwise would have made them vulnerable. That's the only thing that Mitch McConnell cares about, is maintaining the Republican majority in the Senate. And he knew that was at risk. So I think this fact pattern, what the president has done with Ukraine, with the president of Ukraine, has crystallized this in a lot of people's minds to see exactly what the president was trying to do.
So, Congressman,
ahead. In the past, I thought the Mueller report, you know, with the assertion of lack of collusion, we were still looking at obstruction of justice. We already knew. Basically, every Republican member of the Senate had said they would vote against impeachment based on that evidence. This is new. This is more powerful. I think it'll create a lot of angst in the Republican Senate, and I think that we have a chance to change some of those votes and actually win in the Senate.
We have a limited amount of time, so I just want to quickly ask you, to that point, what comes next now?
So the way the Speaker has structured this so far, rather than appoint a special commission to advance the formal impeachment inquiry, she has indicated that she would like the six committees to continue their work, but be cloaked with that extra power that the impeachment inquiry resolution would give them. So the six committees that have been doing this investigation will be empowered to continue that work, and that's what's going to happen in the near term. There may be a change in tactics or logistics, I'm not sure, but right now that's where we're at. So she has instructed our committees to move forward, and now we'll be in court with the added impetus provided by this impeachment inquiry.
That's Massachusetts Congressman Stephen Lynch. Congressman, thanks for joining Radio Boston.
Thank you, Tiziana. Good to speak with you.
You too. Stay with us. There's more coming up. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.